to your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now, here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Oh, man. It is the best day of Shock Therapy Live ever. Because we've got hot chicks on the show today.
Well, thanks,
yeah, man.
I'm a guy still, but thanks.
It's okay. You know what? You look... Never mind.
Man.
No, wow. I've got... My wife's here on the show with us today.
Hey.
Which is funny because I got a text this morning from Janae who said...
Messing with you?
Hey, so what if I came in instead? And I was like, I bet you Nate had something. He totally forgot.
And I sent my wife in lieu of
me. And then he sent in his wife in and I was actually like, I bet you that'd actually be a better show.
She's like the opposite of the Kinsman Redeemer.
She thought she was like punking me and being hilarious. And I was like, no, that'd actually probably be an informative show. We'd probably get stuff done.
The other day, my wife was, we were watching TV and she was answering somebody on Facebook or I don't even remember what it was.
No, I was talking to somebody directly.
A text message?
Are you talking about when you said that was a good answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was directly talking
text
to them. They're at our house.
They were actually standing right next to you.
Oh, no, she was recapping. That's what it was. She was recaping a conversation she had.
There you go.
And she gave me the answer. I was like, babe, that was like a Shock Therapy Live answer. That was a good answer. And she was like, so why do you never want to have me on the show?
Oh, snap.
I was like,
so that's what's really happening.
Well, why don't, and I was like, well, why don't you come on the show?
What do you mean?
You want to come on the show on Wednesday? And she was like, well, no, not now, because now I said it. And now, you know what wives do when it's like they tell you something? You're like, okay, cool. Then do it. They're like,
whoa.
Well, not now, because I had to tell you.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Why do you guys do that?
Because we want you to think that way. Naturally, we don't want to have to put the thought in your mind for you.
Yeah, but we've been married long enough to know that marriage takes serious communication, and the other person isn't, you become one flesh, you don't become one mind. Am I right?
Right, but you would think after after years of marriage, you would think that they had learned to think properly.
Telepathically.
After years of marriage,
it would have evolved like an X-Man and have become...
Oh, man, but I do the same thing. I fully do the same thing to Chrissy sometimes, so yeah.
No,
we
but
do
it's
that.
Good.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad
I started
to be here.
Thinking about it and realizing, oh, wait, you've never actually been on the show. Like, you've been on the show.
I call in all the time because I'm your, number one listener, let's be honest.
We got a fangirl.
This is awesome. Welcome to the show, Janae Heitzig.
Thank you so much.
Dibs.
What?
Wow.
We got a fangirl I called Dibs.
Okay. Wow. Ow! That got
What was that?
That was the aliens just taking
Hey,
over.
Matt, you haven't said hello.
Hey, Janae, sorry.
He didn't say hello, but he said that he was like
Nate was hitting on me again. So I was just trying to curb that.
Yeah, oh, true.
Yeah.
I was going to get offended for a second.
Do not be offended.
It is Shock Therapy Live. We are taking your questions. Phone lines are open 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If you would like to chime in through email, you can do that as well. studio@star88.fm. Or hit us up on the Facebooks. Facebook.com/star88fm. Excited because we have a female perspective today. That makes for better radio in general.
Dude.
It makes for a better life.
That's very true.
Life
too.
In general is better with women.
Yeah. Wow, that was like a little.
Can I tweet that? Life in general is better with women.
I think in order for that not to be conceited, a man has to say that. Life's better with me.
No, she didn't say with her. She said with women, plural.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask Chrissy if that's true.
I think women feel the opposite. Life is better with men.
Ah, okay. All right. Mm. I like this.
You really think girls think that?
Too much estrogen in one room. Whoa.
Yeah, Estfest. You saw what happened to Lilith Fair?
Dude.
Yeah. R.I.P. Sean
Colvin. Can be
Colvin.
A really ugly thing.
She's still alive, yeah.
We're going to get in trouble.
We are. What is Shock Therapy Live?
This is one of the few times in Shock Therapy Live that I'm sitting here thinking, okay, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say.
Is it because your wife's in the studio? So instead of her texting angrily to you during the show,
Because
Nate!
Because I realize if I offend a group of people, they're it's not just like in the radio listenership. I could offend somebody who actually afterwards like, why'd you say that?
Hey, Nate. Nate's growing, guys. Not like physically, thankfully, because then he'd be like 6'7", and that'd just get weird. But, hey, you're growing, man. You're thinking.
Thanks to me.
Shut up.
Thank you. Thank you, Janae. We give you all the credit and the glory. And the
this is good.
Dude, we need to get Steve-O's wife in here.
No.
We can actually have some serious conversations.
Bring on the Chrissy.
Dude, we're going to get Chrissy in here.
Where is she?
That's good.
Everyone's
going to
be like, where's Steve-O?
Here's the thing. If you got Dawn here, it would be the funniest and smartest show ever.
That's true. We should get Dawn in here. Dawn
would
be
like,
great.
Oh, my gosh.
What if one morning we just had all of our wives do Shock Therapy Live instead of us?
We would have a huge fan base.
Janae just said, like, too much estrogen, and I just feel like that wouldn't really, I don't know, man. Yeah. Chrissy's actually working on something today with the city. They're filming a video for like childcare, and they're at Chrissy's facility today.
That's cool.
Yeah, they chose her for this project. But this is why I don't think she should come on the show. She's freaking out right now because they're actually going to interview her on camera and stuff. She's like, I'm going to talk and say stuff. And yeah,
if Shock Therapy Live was run by women, they would never answer questions because they'd just be crying with everybody when they called in. Like, hey, I've got this problem. Like, it would just be like a non-stop emotional roller coaster.
You know,
everybody crying.
So I could cry.
Yeah.
I moved in here so I could cry and Nate wouldn't make fun of me.
Just let him live his life, man.
See, that's what's great. My wife is so great because she's the opposite of me. She's empathetic. No, it's so good because
I like this. No, I see where you're going.
Because I'm very unempathetic. And
what?
Janae is extremely empathetic, and so she can emote and relate with people. And so, like when we do counseling appointments together, it's fantastic because like you get me is like very irrational. Like
it's
no,
good
look,
cop,
it,
bad
you gotta
cop.
Stop it, cut it out. And my wife's like, I know how you feel,
right?
And it's so fantastic.
I never sound like that.
No.
I just, my heart is doing
Do you
that.
Hear how he was complimenting you and somehow made you sound weaker at the same
oh,
time?
Oh yes, oh yes. It's because.
Because I'm a pastor.
He's scared. Oh, he's just scared.
Amazing.
That's
phone
awesome.
Lines are open. 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. And we actually did get a question.
Yeah, we have a great email. I'm glad Perfect. You came in today, Janae.
Yes.
Okay, so, hey guys, I'd like to remain anonymous. I have a relationship issue that I am desperate for some biblical guidance in. Long story short, I've known this girl for a few years. Within the last 6 months, we became friends. She got saved. We finally started dating. Needless to say, I haven't been the godliest young man. I started dating her before she became a believer. The problems are, number one, her parents aren't believers and thus don't like the congregation we go to because it's, quote, homophobic. And number two, I'm a few years older than her and her parents don't like that either. In short, her parents are keeping her from going to church with me and most likely church altogether. If they do let her, it would be like a Quaker church or some other, at best, lukewarm church. They told her she has to wait until she's legally an adult to date me and decide what she wants to believe. I'm so angry. In my heart of hearts, I care about her and I love her. I want to pursue her in marriage and I'm going to do that. What ultimately matters is her relationship with God. So my questions are these. Number one, how do I give the best example of a Christian possible, her parents being strongly opposed to their Christian relatives? And number two, how do I respect her parents while still supporting her and her relationship with God? Please help. Thank you. This is
Man.
Basically the question equivalent of that Why You Gotta Be So Rude song.
Gosh.
That was
so
a great
good.
Reference. I loved
that
it.
That truly was. I hate that song. Ugh.
Well, this is what I would say. I'm going to let my wife take it in a second. But as opposed to that song where he says, I'm going to marry her anyway, I would not take that advice. And,
at all.
And I think if you really want to be an example of Christ to her parents, you honor their wishes and you wait until she is legally an adult to start dating her. Because until that point, she is under their care and she is under their authority, not just as a daughter but as a Christian. She's under their authority according to a biblical stance on that. And so I've taught before on dating and I say that you never want to start a relationship off on the wrong foot. And if you're going to start the relationship off by disrespecting her parents, that's not a great place to start the relationship off in sin. So even whether her parents are Christian or not, I would respect her parents and I would honor that and I would wait until they give you permission. And I would be a man and go talk to her parents separate from her and say, look, know, regardless of my faith in Jesus Christ or not, what I want to let you know is that I want to honor your daughter and respect your daughter. I want to esteem her purity. I want to treasure her as a woman. And so I would explain that to them and talk to them and have an upfront conversation with them about that.
I think this would be a wholly different conversation if they were like in their 20s, but I was completely thrown off when it was like, well, I'm a few years older and they just don't want her to date me because it's illegal.
Yeah.
And so I was like, no, bro. Like, yeah. Because there's somebody like, oh, she's 23 and I'm 28. You know, oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. Totally understand. So she's 16 and I'm 20. You're like, gross. No, bro. Like, what is wrong with you?
And you know, it's funny, like, because 4 year difference once someone's married isn't crazy.
No.
But 4 years when someone's 16.
Oh, dude. And we live in a different time period because my grandparents, like, talking to my mom, I remember she was like, well, yeah, back, you know, my grandmother was 13 when she got married to my grandfather who was 19. And I'm like, that's crazy. That was also like the 40s, you know, like, so the 1930s when it was like, okay, well, she's come of age.
But it's like, well, we don't know if we're going to make it to 60. So
Spanish fever, like the Spanish flu, just taking
the Oregon Trail.
Yeah, yes, sorry. Yeah. Oh man. But yeah. So, anyways, line one. But
line one is a good one.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. I want
to
hear Janae.
I'm pertaining to this.
Yeah. It's another relationship. I'm so glad you're here, Janae. It's another relationship question.
So, what would you say? I mean, on this to maybe the guy or to the female who's like, hey, I want to date this guy.
Well, again, the Bible's first thing is to honor your mother and father. So if you want to honor the Bible, you have to honor what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And for the guy, I would just say you guys are young, and if you want
well,
to
she's
earn...
Young.
Well, and he might be too.
He might be. I'm just being a jerk.
I hope he's not like 25 and she's still
you guys are young.
Not
he's
of
like,
age.
I'm 40.
Well, there's a few year age difference. I'm hoping it's like 18 and 16.
Yeah.
Regardless, you guys, it sounds like you guys are both young. And I would say you have to respect her parents' wishes so that they see the love of Christ in you. And by doing so, you can go ahead and communicate your intentions to them, whether or not they're going to take that to heart because of where they stand with their belief system is up to them, and you can't force them and force their hand.
Yeah.
So I would just, out of respect for them, honor their wishes, and I would still speak your intentions. Say, hey, I love the Lord, and God calls me to honor you guys and to honor your daughter. And in doing so, I will wait. If you love her that much, if you really want to pursue marriage, waiting is not the end of the world. God asks us to wait all the time.
Amen. And I would you know, add on to that. I was just thinking that, Janae, is that I can't stand it. I hear young couples say all the time, like, we love each other so much. We just got to get married right now. You know, one of the key attributes of love is that love is patient.
Yeah.
And if you're if you know this is the woman that you're going to marry, 2 years isn't going to make a difference.
Yeah.
If this is the person that God wants you to be with, waiting for 2 years isn't going to foil God's plan.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's good to wait. I think that it's good to give that pause. And I think it's a good lesson for you to take, is that love is patient, and so I would give it that time and honor her mother and father. And this is the thing: if you're going to go behind her mom and dad's back and start dating her without them knowing, you're a jerk. And she doesn't deserve a jerk; she deserves a gentleman. So stop being a jerk, be a gentleman, honor her mother and father, and wait.
And considering in the email it states that the parents are not believers. If you do that, all you're showing is that hypocritical Christian stance of dissing authority, and you know, it's a terrible witness.
Yeah,
he totally mentioned her walk with the Lord is the most important thing, and I do agree with that.
Yeah.
If you want to see her walk with the Lord flourish, maybe you can ask her parents for permission to produce her with materials that would further her walk. I wouldn't overstep your boundaries in pursuit of her relationship with the Lord. It needs to be her pursuit of the Lord, not yours for her.
Booyah.
Did you guys talk about how when you get married, you marry the family?
Oh, that too.
That's,
I mean, that's a huge thing. Because it's like, we don't even think about that. I mean,
you don't.
Listen, dude. Yeah. Number one, you don't want to step into this because she's obviously close with her family,
right?
You don't want to step into a marriage and be like, yeah, and you can't have your family anymore. It's all me because right. they hate us. You don't right. want to be like that.
That's very yeah. dude. That's a solid practical point.
Totally.
For real.
Totally.
Because you don't think about that, and it's true. You really do marry the whole family.
And I can't stand this whole, oh, someone's not a Christian, so I don't have to honor them. Because if that was true, then we wouldn't have to honor what a lot of the government tells us to do. It's like, oh, it's not a Christian, so I don't have to pay taxes. Yeah. You know, that's dumb.
Like, God told me to do this, so I don't care what you say.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Let's go out to line one. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, there she is.
Hi.
Hi.
Am I on the radio right now?
Yes.
You are on the radio.
What is your name?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Or you can remain anonymous. I forgot about that.
I'd prefer to remain anonymous.
Booyah.
If that's okay.
Okay. All right. So what's
okay.
up?
Okay. So my question is a relationship question. I've been dating this guy for about 2 years, and things are going really well. I would consider it a God-centered relationship. We're only 21, though, and sometimes, most of the time it's wonderful, but sometimes he gets a little bit immature, and it's unattractive and annoying to me, and it's making me question our relationship. So my question to you is, should I, like, wait it out and see if he grows up and all of that, or should I break up with him so that he's forced to grow up, or should I just end it altogether? Because we're headed towards marriage, and it's really serious, but it's kind of a problem for us.
I want to talk, I want to, some clarification, if I could, before we get into it, on his quote-unquote immaturity. By saying he's immature, because, dude, I'm in my 30s, and I still exude immaturity. So, can you give some examples, or what do you mean by sometimes he shows his immaturity?
Just impulsive behaviors, and just, like, I'm okay with, like, super goofy and all that, and that's actually another aspect of the problem, is, like, I want him to grow up a little bit, but he's sometimes tells me, like, I don't want to change who I am, which I totally agree with. I don't want to change him, but sometimes I wish he was a little more serious and, like, a little bit more of an adult.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I'd say you guys are 21, so he is immature because he's 21.
Right,
I mean, so
right.
so there's a level of, well, he acts immature.
So
no,
really
he doesn't act
like
immature. He is immature. He's 21,
yeah.
and you're 21, and so you guys are young. And so I think that especially guys, you know, mature much slower than girls. You know, to what Steve-O was saying, I still am very immature, but I think back to when I was 21.
Oh, man.
Man, I was extremely immature.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when Janae and I first got married, we both so thought, oh man, we're ready for marriage, and both of our parents said, man, you guys are kind of young, and we just kind of jumped into it like, no,
nah,
you know
bro.
What, we know, we love each other, and man, we do love each other, we did love each other, and you know, God has kept us together, but we were both very immature, and we both
hey,
had
now.
Not, had not,
I was totally mature, and you were immature.
And so I think God really matured us through that relationship, and God got us through that. But, you know, I look back and I think, man, you know, if we would have listened to our parents' advice and waited a year, it wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world.
True.
And so I think that we got to understand, man, you guys are 21. So not just he's immature, but I probably believe in a lot of ways you're immature. And as you age and get older, you're going to realize that some of your, you know, thinking of, oh my gosh, the way he acts, and that's going to change, and you're going to mature, and you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ. And so, I think that, you need to understand that it's not that he acts immature sometimes, it's that he is immature. And so, you know, that does take time. That's not something you breaking up with him isn't going to all of a sudden make him mature. It might make him jaded, but it won't make him mature. Maturity doesn't come from bad stuff happening in your life or like, man, oh my gosh, that was so tough. I think maturity just comes from life.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, time will grow that. And so, you know, I would say that maturity is something that needs to be cultivated, you know, through a relationship with God and through circumstances in life. And it's something you can do together, but I wouldn't rush towards marriage, but at the same time, I wouldn't run from the relationship.
Yeah, because there's something to be said. I mean, not to cultivate or feed into the idea that this guy's just totally immature, but there is definitely something to be said about the difference between a lack of maturity and not taking anything seriously. Because she, you know, she said, I wish you would just be serious. And whereas I was immature at 21, I still had an understanding of certain concepts. And if this guy's like not taking anything seriously, marriage as a believer is the most important relationship in the universe. And it is a very serious commitment. If the guy can't understand basic concepts like that, I don't know. Just cut and run, girl. Cut and run. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No.
I would
definitely say you have to define the term of maturity. Maturity is not just in the sense of like how he, I guess, views life and lives life, but his responsibilities. If he's responsible with his finances, right. If he's responsible with his job, if he meets the commitments that he says yes to, all of those things communicate maturity. If he's silly, that's just his character. It's his personality.
Yeah.
And so that you probably won't change. I also don't think that that's a deal breaker because boys, or men, I should say, men who always act like boys, like my husband is a boy.
Yep.
He is. When people say like, oh, how many children do you have? It's the ongoing joke that when women get married and then they have children, they have another one.
Yeah.
You know, and it's their husband.
Yeah.
So that is for like, that's just life. I've met men who are older. My dad still plays around like a boy because it's fun and they have adventure in them and that's just ingrained in them. The thing that I would really be focused on at your age is his maturity and his walk with the Lord, his maturity in his responsibilities. If he's meeting those commitments that he makes, if he is being responsible with his finances and his bills and those things, then you know that he's on the right track. Are you guys young? You are. You never feel young when you're 21. I remember feeling really old with Nate and thinking, yes, we're ready, and you just want to jump in. But it never hurts to just take time. There's not a limit like, oh, we've been dating for 2 years, so we have to get married. There is no time length of getting to know each other and growing as a couple and then pursuing marriage. So I would probably hang out or hang on to your relationship if you feel like it's a healthy relationship and it's a Christian and God-centered relationship, then I would hang out. He's a boy and he will be immature at times and silly at times. But just like we have our quirks, you might think, and this might sound totally contrary, but you might be like, I just want you to be serious. And that might be something that's immature in you. And I think that sounds contrary, but sometimes as women, we want to grow up fast and we want to pursue life quickly and move to the next phase because we've done this teenage thing and now we're ready to pursue serious relationships and get married and then go to the next step. Mm. Sometimes we take, as women, because we are so analytical and so serious, sometimes we take life too seriously and sometimes we move too quickly because of that desire. So maybe even analyze that. Analyze, what do you mean by I want him to be more serious? Do you want him more serious in the relationship? Do you want him, you know, pursuing life at a faster pace and moving forward in his career and moving forward in all these things? And it's like, I would probably say just slow down simply because life does go quickly. And now that I'm almost 30, I'd be like, oh man, if I could be 21 again, what would I do? You know?
Yeah.
And you'd probably slow it down simply because you want to enjoy each season of life. And you're in a fun season right now.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder about what you want to change, because you made an interesting statement. You said that you don't want to change him, but you do want him to change. So essentially, you want to change him. So
specific with you guys. You asked me, you know, how is he immature? How is he impulsive? Well, in general, he's silly, and that's his character, and I'm okay with that. Sometimes it can be annoying, but I love him.
Mm-hmm.
But more specifically and more in depth, he's kind of impulsive and a little bit angry. And actually, at the beginning of the summer, he just broke up with me on a whim. And I'm having a really hard time balancing, like, I love you and everything's okay and I forgive you for that. And I want you to prove yourself to me. He, like, if we're ever in arguments and things like that, he's pretty quick to anger and he's pretty impulsive. you know, to just, like, not respond to my phone calls, things like that. So I'm in a weird place, like, I forgive you, let's move on, and, like, continue to prove yourself to me.
I don't want
him always having, for the rest of our life, to prove himself to me.
Right.
But I also want to be confident in the two of us together.
You know, I think one big thing, I'm going to let Matt take this in a second, but I think one big thing is that in any relationship, dating or marriage, there needs to be rules.
Mm.
And so I think you definitely probably need to, you know, set up some rules within the relationship and say, look, when we fight, just like in a marriage, you can't use the divorce word. It's not okay to really quickly go to, well, I just don't know if this relationship is a good idea. And I don't know if this is, because a lot of people do use that as a defense mechanism. And they want to run away when things get hard, when there's ever a fight. And so I think that's really common. I remember Janae and I, man, when we were dating, we'd have conversations where, you know, it was just like, oh, I don't know if you, we look back, I literally have text messages back from when we first were dating, and man, it is like a manic relationship.
I was such a princess and so sweet to you. I said such kind words.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, but it was like so manic, you know, it was like one second, like we love each other, the next second, why don't you love me? And I don't know if this is a good, are we making a mistake? And it was like, you know, so up and down.
Right.
And it was because we didn't have rules.
Well, yes and,
it,
no.
And it was because we didn't have rules in our relationship because we both just loved each other. And I think when you're in a marriage or when you're in a relationship and you're dating, you're so scared to rock the boat that you don't want to say, hey, that's not okay. Hey, you can't say that. Hey, we need to have rules because you're too scared to rock the boat. But I think it's really important to set rules and say, look, that's not okay. When we get in a fight, you can't say that. Yeah. That's you're breaking the rules at that point. That's a foul. And now we're married. Now, when Janae or I say something to one another that isn't okay, we're very quick to say, hey, that's not okay, you can't say that. And you know, we're more comfortable in that role of having rules in a relationship. But in dating, I think a lot of times we aren't, but I think we need to.
Yeah. Teo?
I was just gonna say, so he broke up with you at the beginning of the summer and now you want to force him to get married?
No.
I just don't
know.
But then also to point out a serious thing. One of the most immature things about every single person, including myself, is that we revert to the tactic we used as children.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't get what you want, you try to manipulate the situation so that you do.
Mm.
And so you're kind of showing your hand when you're saying you want to break up with him so that he has to marry you or he has to jump to that next level of maturity. You don't want to be in a relationship where you have to take drastic measures to make somebody else move forward in the way that you think that they should move forward, because you're two different people, number one. And then that's not like a healthy relationship where one person is manipulating things to make the other person live up to a standard. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally see that. And I'm definitely not trying to force him into marriage. I just see, like, we've taken a few months to, like, really heal our relationship. We've already been together for 2 years. And it just seems like it's going that direction. And it scares me, in fact. I'm not really trying to force him into it, but I'm just trying to get serious with myself about, like, well, is this really what I want? Is he really ready for it?
Yeah, I don't think you need to force him into it, but I think you definitely can have a conversation with him about it, and I think they're two separate things. But I think I would say, look, you know, where do you see this relationship leading to? And you know, what's the end game here? I think it's okay to ask that question. It's okay to have a conversation about the future. And then I think even within that conversation, what I would do is I'd say, hey, you know, can we not do like date, but let's just go have a coffee and talk about our relationship and where it's headed.
Well, she's saying she's scared of the future.
But I think that I think a lot of people become scared of the future, and so they never want to address the future. But I think it's important to address the future. Otherwise, you constantly live in fear of what's going to happen, or are we going to get married? Are we not going to get married? Yeah. Is he gonna break up with me again? You know, is he going to mature? Is he going to do this? And I think if we never have conversations about it, we just perpetually live in fear of it, and that fear begins to control us because we're not addressing that fear.
Well, that goes into everything you were saying about the rules of fighting.
Yeah.
Because for Chrissy and I, I would want to address the issue instantaneously, and Chrissy would need a minute, because if she didn't have a minute, oh man, phone through the face, like things are thrown, and so I think there's something to be said about even having that conversation about the way that you go forward with discussing things, because when you made a reference to him not wanting to, like, answer your phone call right away, I thought about the fact that sometimes that's a good thing. That could show a sign of maturity, because maybe he's like, I don't want to say the wrong thing in this moment. I know that I'm hot-tempered, and I need a minute to cool down before I address this situation. And so I think there's something to be said about that, as far as talking about this guy's maturity, who isn't here to defend himself, by the way. But, yeah. So yeah. I definitely think you've got to have
a conversation. Yeah, and, you know, and don't be. I think here's a huge thing, because one thing Janae said, you know, being scared about the future. Don't be scared about what that conversation will bring. You know, again, if this is the guy that God's meant you to be with, if you have a conversation about the future and he's like, you know what, I just can't do this. Well, that's a clear sign. This probably isn't a guy that you should be married to. And so, but if you really do feel like this is a guy that this is leading to marriage, then if you feel that way, it's very important, even more important than just a dating relationship, to have that conversation, because you want to get things out in the open. You want to set rules in a relationship before you get married. It's very important to have that conversation. So don't live in fear of that conversation. I think you got to do it.
So Nate, what you're saying is you should be able to communicate those things, and it doesn't matter how long you've been married. You're not going to osmosisly know things, right? That's what you're saying, essentially.
Nice try.
So, okay, cool. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
God bless. Right.
It's true, Janae. We're never going to know through osmosis. Ever. Am I right, Nate? Am I right?
I feel like this show is becoming less about the phone call and more about...
this internal fight that he has.
Yes, yes. Phone lines are open.
Isn't here.
Dude, I'm glad you're here. You're really you're really, it's good. Like, relationship questions. We're all dudes in here. So to get your perspective, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I could see that. Yeah, okay.
Right? It was good. Like even when Janae was talking to her about, like, you know, we as girls, like, sometimes are too serious. Can do this. Like, man, it's good that she's saying this, because I couldn't say this.
No, it's
why? Because you thought I'd come
back with a punch?
Because
then she'd come in and she'd be like, oh, what are you saying? I'm too serious? I'm never too serious. I'm Janae. And they're like, oh, well, case in point. Literally right now.
The closest we get to a girl's voice is me, and that's just because I'm a feminist.
Oh.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. It is Shock Therapy Live, Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio, and his bride, Janae, hanging out today. I like this.
This is
different.
Fun. This is
fun. It feels a little more serious today. What happened? What are you doing, Nate? You're not cracking crazy jokes. You
nervous? Because I was sick yesterday.
Oh, that's why. Oh, okay.
He's scared to get it dished
any day,
back.
You know, any day when you're like the day after being sick for a weekend, you're just kind of like...
His humor gene went out the window.
Oh no, you need to get that back, dude.
That's the only thing that makes me fun.
Matt and I are here for you. We got this. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in on Facebook, facebook.com/star88fm, or of course send us an email, studio@star88.fm. So here's a question. While we have a married couple in studio, we're talking about this, and you know, she just called in and had a relationship question. We got an email, relationship question. Will you guys talk for a minute about the conversations that you have to have about that very the communication in marriage that has to happen? Because as we mentioned, communication, what does that look like?
Oh, man. Let me just say that.
Like? Yeah, what does it look like having to have that? Because we just told this girl she needs to, like, go to Starbucks and have this giant conversation.
That is, and that's scary, and I understand where she's coming from, because you don't, as much as we say you don't want to tiptoe around relationships, you don't want to not communicate, you should always over-communicate. I can imagine the fear, because I'm a woman, in losing the person that you love.
Yeah.
And so you don't want to push them away. Oddly enough, if it doesn't work out, you wish you pushed them away sooner. So the conversation probably definitely needs to happen for her, just because of that situation. Communication is huge. Nate and I did not know how to communicate at all. Obviously, we
Nate
had a
still
futile relationship in the beginning. but we honestly, we've gotten so much better at it. I feel like I can officially say he's my best friend, because we can actually talk without getting mad at each other, and we can have serious conversations and even debates without it getting heated and throwing arrows at each other. So,
you know, and I think it was funny too, like Janae and I, before we started dating, communicated well. Like before, we had one of those big coffee shop conversations before we started dating where I was like, you know, I need to talk to her about how I feel and where. And that was before we started dating. And then once we started dating, we became bad communicators.
Yeah. Isn't that weird how that happens? Yeah.
And so, I don't know why that happens, but I think it really does. You get this mentality once you get in a relationship that you're scared to have real conversations with them because you're scared that if you're vulnerable, you're scared that if they see you for who you are, you're scared that if you, you know, address who they are, that there's something about them that you don't like, that it could ruin the relationship. And so you're almost, you live in this perpetual state of fear because you don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
But as Janae said,
you just want to be seen as perfect. Like, oh, I am the perfect person for you. See, I'm an angel.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good old dating. I'm so glad that's done. Phone lines open, 505-338-3700.
I feel like you're perpetually in that place in life where each stage in life, you get to the next one, like, man, I'm so glad that stage in life
right?
is done.
Lies. Oh, man.
Lies. He thinks he's done with children. He's not.
So done.
Oh, man, I can't wait to have this conversation. All right, let's go to line one.
We're going to need to leave and call in.
No, we're pausing this one. We're not stopping that conversation.
Stop it.
Hello, welcome, caller.
Hi, my name is Leslie, and I just have a couple of questions for you. Well, a lot has been going on in my life in the last, 9 months. I met somebody, my children ended up not liking that person, and they, as a result, decided they were going to go live with somebody else. That relationship ended failing because I caught him cheating. And then I met somebody else maybe, right after I caught my ex cheating and I kind of moved too fast with him. I'm seeing a recurring pattern in my life where I'm just not, like, I'm just afraid to be alone.
Mm.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I do it?
Mm. Well, I'm going to jump in here. It's definitely difficult. You're a single mom. And needing that dependency, I think it's part of our woman nature to need kind of somebody by our side and somebody to defend us and kind of lift us up because we are the helpmate. And then when we're taken out of that role and we're in the role of playing both mother and father and both the good guy and the bad guy in every relationship that we have, we're taking on more than God really intended us to. And so it's really going to be a constant struggle. And I'm not saying that because I want to make you more defeated, but because you are in a position where you have to carry a heavy load. And your desire of your heart is to be with somebody. But I believe that God has somebody for you, and you're jumping at the next step. And the first face that comes to you that seems like, oh, this might be it, you jump in quickly because you're so ready for that next stage of life. And you're jumping too soon. And God has somebody for you, but it has to take patience, and you have to wait, and you really got to surrender that desire and that need of loneliness over to Him, and even ask for help, whether that's through your church or your family or friends, of really helping you carry that weight. You're never intended to carry it alone, and it doesn't make you weak for asking for help or support or encouragement, because you need that. Everybody needs that. I need that as a mother and a wife, and I have my husband. And so I can imagine you need that.
Yeah.
And so you really need a support system to help you through those roles, but it's not necessarily a man. And jumping into a relationship because you're feeling like a lacking is not going to satisfy you. And like you already saw, it pushed your children away. And you definitely don't want to push them away. You love them. And so because of that,
there were some other circumstances with my children. They're both, in high school, and there were some ditching of school and doing some extracurricular activities that weren't really good. So, I mean, them going to live with their uncle has probably been the best decision that I could have ever made for them, because now they're not going to parties and they're going to school every day, and now they're playing sports. And, my older daughter will probably graduate with some honors, taking all AP classes. There are some silver linings to what I've been through in the last 6 months. It just seems like I'm always just trying to need somebody there to talk to, whether to just to kind of ease that loneliness. And my thing is that I need to learn. I'm at a point right in my life right now where I feel that I really need to learn how to be alone. And I know I can't do it by myself. I know it's going to take prayer and you know, a support group. I have a wonderful best friend who's right beside me, and she's always talking to me and helping me out. It's just, I feel sometimes that my thing is like, how do I not let that loneliness get the best of me? I just feel it's just really hard sometimes. And then I'll find myself like on, it's so easy to get on a single dating website these days and just have someone to talk to just to fill that empty silence. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Totally. And I think what you're hitting on is really, you know, at the core of males and females. You know, I think guys a lot of times can be con artists, and girls a lot of times can fall into any con that comes along the way. I think that a huge issue that a lot of girls struggle with, and I see this a lot when I was in high school ministry, I saw a lot of girls struggle with it. And it doesn't just stop once a girl gets out of high school. It really continues on perpetually. This, I need, therefore I love, being too transparent, being too dependent. And I think this really ties in a lot with even what the last caller was talking about, this sense of, you know, getting a boy and feeling like, oh man, I've got to make them the one now. And so, like, you know, this sense of trying to make them want to marry you, and trying to, it's this I need, therefore I love, being too transparent, being too dependent on the love of another. And so I think it's really important for us to realize, you know, as male and female, but especially female, that that love that you so crave is a love that really only God can give. Because that same love that you have, even if you find a great guy who loves God, if you have that idea that, man, you need him, that he is the representation of love for you, he's still going to let you down. Because the right. love that you need in your life is the love of God. And if you view that man, no matter how good he is, as that representation of love for you, he's going to let you down, because it's a love of a man, not the love of God. And so you really need to fill that void, realizing that Jesus Christ loves you with that love that you need, that he thinks you're beautiful, that he cares for you. And that love needs to be the love that fills your heart, and then that will prepare you to be ready for the love of a godly man. But if you're looking for that love that you are hardwired to have, you're not going to find it in a guy. And you're probably going to go through a lot of bad guys, and then eventually when you find the good guy, he's still not going to be enough, because again, you're looking for love in the wrong place. And so I think it's so important to not have that kind of a mentality. I need, therefore I love. I think it's important to get to a place where you say, you know what, I'm not going to date, I'm not going to have a relationship. And if you get into the place where you can be in a place where you don't need love, then I think that's when God's going to bring you that person that you do, that you should have a relationship with.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think some people are so on the search for love, on the search for the right person, that they miss, you know, the opportunities that God really does have for them.
Well, I mean, it's the way God created us, obviously. Yeah. And so, but as you said, it's got to be fulfilled through the Lord. I can speak to this twofold. You know, my dad died when I was 7 years old, and my mom, single mom, she had a 6-year-old, me, my 5-year-old brother, and 3-year-old sister. And so instantaneously it was, wow, I just lost the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And my kids need a dad. And so she was constantly on the search for that instant replacement, and it never worked out, because she didn't pause. She didn't take time to be patient. She jumped from relationship to relationship, hoping that they would be the person that they needed. And I will tell you, as the child, as the product of that, all I really needed was a solid mom. And I missed out on a lot of stuff because of that, because I didn't have any of that. And, you know, now my mom and I's relationship is incredible. There was a hard time in our lives, but an amazing forgiveness and restoration there. And my mom is one of the greatest humans in the world to me now, and I love her dearly. But I will say this, as the child of that, it does something to you as a kid, because then I became that guy that constantly needed that. And I was in terror. I jumped from relationship to relationship because I didn't want to be alone. And I was engaged once, and praise the Lord, it didn't work out because it would have been dreadful. I wasn't a believer at the time, and it fell apart. But then I was constantly trying to find that person. And as you said, Nate, it wasn't until I got so fed up because I was killing myself just trying to find that love, and it was never satisfying. It was never enough, and just relationship after relationship. I finally gave up, and I gave it to the Lord and said, you know what, dude, this isn't for me, because I'm obviously screwing everything up. There's the common equation in this relationship is me, and it's always failing. And so I gave it up. I gave it to the Lord. I got involved in ministry. I really started digging in. And next thing you know, when I wasn't looking for it, was when I met my wife.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly how it happened.
And that's where I'm at now, where I've been on your website looking at a lot of things. Like, there are a lot of ministries for women who like purity. The one I'm looking at is Tomorrow Night, which is above the abuse.
Okay.
I was in a physically abusive relationship with the father of my children for a number of years. And sometimes I wonder if maybe, like, I have a lot of problems stemming back to that that need to be dealt with, need to be addressed. And,
amen.
I need to heal from all of that before I can actually move on to actually be in a place where I need to be, where I can actually be happy, where I can look in the mirror and say, I love you and I'm happy with who you are, but there's still that, you know, something there that's just kind of incomplete. And maybe it's because I'm lacking, I need God, and I'm thinking, hey, maybe it's a man, maybe I need love in my life, I'm lonely, blah blah blah.
Nailed it, because that's it. If you do not address those issues, it will creep up. Because sadly, I wish I could say that I met my wife and everything was perfect. Oh wait, no. Product of my upbringing, a product of my sin, a product of myself. I drug so much crap into my marriage that I hadn't dealt with in my life. Thank God he is a God of restoration and redemption. But if I had only addressed it before. So I would tell you wholeheartedly right now, you just nailed it. You have to address those issues, because if not, you're going to drag them into that next relationship, and it could potentially, you know, implode.
Yeah, because, you know, that mentality of needing, because again, what you're talking about is you don't need a guy. What you need is a representation of love. And again, God hardwired that into our hearts, that we need a representation of love. We need a true love within our lives. But that love, the only place to find that is in a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And so God hardwired that in there. But what happens is, when we're searching for that love in a man, when we're searching for that love in something else within the world, it never satisfies, it never fulfills. So that's why I said, even if you find that godly guy within your life, what's going to happen is he's still not Christ. The problem isn't that he's not godly. The problem is that he's not God.
Right.
And so because he's not God, he's going to let you down. And when he lets you down, your instinct, because of what you cultivated before that relationship, will be to seek that in someone else. And that can lead to an adulterous relationship. That can lead to an affair, because you're not seeing within him what you should be seeking in God.
Yeah.
And so then you're going to try to find that in another guy, and it will just, you know, create harm in your relationship. And so...
Well, and that makes sense. Like I was saying, once I caught my ex cheating and I met this other gentleman, and he was like, yeah, I go to church. And I was like, oh, awesome. Maybe we can have something. And then I was given this, oh my God, I prayed for you, and then all of a sudden here you are, and I think this is wonderful, we're going to be able to do this. And then like a month later, he just kind of like, the light switch just flipped, and he's like, doesn't talk to me hardly, we like, we're going to move in together. I ended up moving into the house by myself. He then went, you know, cross country for like the last 2 weeks, was like, I don't know when I'm coming back. I don't know what's going to happen. I want to travel. Like, he just realized afterwards, like, that he wasn't ready for all this. And so here I am, just in this, like, this horrible place right now for the last 2 weeks, because I'm not knowing what's going on. I'm living in this house with this by myself that I was supposed to be sharing with somebody who claimed that he had feelings for me. And then all of a sudden, everything is just gone. It's just gone. Like, it was just ripped out from underneath me.
And I know this is going to sound crazy, but that is God's intervention. God didn't intend for you to move in with a gentleman that you are not married to, and then you would be starting your relationship off right away on the wrong step, on the wrong foot, right away already living in sin. And I know it's desire and an easy decision to make to say, yes, like, let's do this. Let's jump into life together because it will be so much easier than living alone and trying to live this life. But you would only be complicating the situation for not only you and your kids, but also him. And then God wouldn't be able to honor and bless your relationship with this man.
Yeah.
And so maybe he did get sent cross country, and maybe he had a come to Jesus moment where a light switch went on and he was like, oh my gosh, I'm jumping too soon.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be doing this. And he's maybe backpedaling, but it's probably a good thing. It doesn't mean the relationship necessarily is over, but maybe you should be taking a step back and seeing, like, okay, everything's getting taken out from underneath me, and I feel like there's no stability, and it comes back to seeking the Lord first and taking it day by day, because I can't imagine, right. And you have to know that this loneliness is not just going to be a light switch. It's not going to flip on and flip off. It, you have to address this daily and conquer a day at a time, maybe a moment at a time, when you feel like the anxiety and the pressure and the overwhelmment of being alone and that loneliness sinking in, you have to address it and surrender it to the Lord. And it might be a reoccurring thing that you face daily. It might be every other day. It might be once a week. It might be monthly. But I can tell you that this is going to be something that is going to be something that you have to face regularly, and you can't just say, oh, okay, quick fix, give it to the man, because it won't fix it, and it will complicate things, and it will overwhelm you with more of an emotional roller coaster when that person lets you down, and when things aren't being met, when desires aren't being met, when dreams aren't being met, when you feel like, oh, I have this fantasy and it's gone. That is always going to happen until you find stability and contentment in the Lord. And contentment doesn't mean that you don't feel necessarily a lacking or a longing for somebody else to be there, because that desire might always be there, but it means that that desire doesn't control your life. It doesn't dictate what you do. You are able to go on daily in God's grace, able to face each day, and then God will bless that by saying, yes, you're honoring me. Yes, you're doing this right. And he will bring you somebody in the right time. But yeah. If you're so willing to just jump to the quick fix, things will continue to fall through.
And I love that.
And that makes sense, actually, because I'm always wondering, like, why does everybody disappoint me? Why am I always disappointed? Like, it's like, it's just really, yeah, that's something that I've always wondered, because yeah. I'm always disappointed. And then when the relationship fails, I feel like I'm the failure. Like, there's something wrong with me. Like, I'm the broken one.
No, again, and it's because, as we've been saying, you know, you're looking for it. Instead of looking for a Christ-like man, you're looking for Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not ever going to be a man that is Christ for you. And so Janae brought up a good thing, though, is this desires. And I think that you've got a severe issue of idol worship within your life. And I know that sounds strange. You're like, wait, I don't have any graven images at home or anything. But what happens is when we have, you know, we have in our heart a throne, and that throne is meant for God and God alone. And God is supposed to be the place of our worship, what we focus on. He's supposed to be, you know, what we pursue. And we can have good desires that all of a sudden go on the throne of our lives, and those desires become idolatrous desires because they become more important to us than our relationship with God. And that's what a man has become in your life. The man has become, you know, the throne in your life, that the desire to have a godly relationship, to have a marriage relationship, has become such an important desire to you that that is your God, and that is what you're willing to sacrifice all other things for, is to have that relationship. And so you need to kind of take that relationship off the throne of your life and turn back to God. And so I did a message that's on this whole entire topic. It's on calvaryabq.org. It's called Friends with Benefits. And I did a message on this whole entire topic about dating, about relationships. I'd encourage you to go check it out. I think it could really help you as you begin to pursue this relationship. And I'd give you kind of one final word of warning. You know, you said that you were in a relationship. It ended in divorce. That's a 50% divorce rate that marriages are going to end in divorce. If you go into a second marriage, it's a 67% chance that marriage is going to end in divorce. And so I would, you know, any relationship you go into, keep that statistic in mind that, man, you know, I've got to make sure that I'm really getting into a good relationship because, you know, the odds are stacked against you. And so I would just really make sure that you go into that relationship being careful and weighing out that this really is the guy for you.
Man, we are out of time, unfortunately. If you missed any part of the show, podcast available at star88.fm. I have made the executive decision that Janae will be joining us every week because that was an incredible show. Nicely done, dude.
I hate that the show ends 5 minutes early every week.
Well, you know, it's called radio, and we have to take care of, like, bills. Like actual
stupid bills.
I know. All
right. We have 5 minutes of bills.
Until next week. Gosh.
That's dumb.
Steve Oteo, Pastor Nate, Janae. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
Stupid bills.
The statements expressed on Shock Therapy Live by hosts, guests, or call-in listeners are solely opinions. They are not intended to be medical or psychological counseling. There are no licensed counselors present, and suggestions given on this program are non-clinical opinions of those who express them. If you are in need of professional help, please seek medical assistance. The opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the position of Star 88 staff or management or of Calvary Albuquerque.